This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
She takes her hairbrush from the bottom drawer, fixes her gaze and nothing more. Her eyes are as midnight as her hair is brown. She looks so at ease in her evening gown. She's a woman to me in every sweet caress. She's finding me out and I'm losing myself in the process. She's with me now in an empty room. She knows just how to fill it up if she wants to. She knows that I am
fans. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, the hallowed halls here in Fort Worth, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. How is the new year treating everybody? Fans worldwide out there, listening over there, our servicemen and women listening overseas, I get emails from you. Thank you. God bless you. Stay safe. And all the folks back here stateside who shoot me the emails, inquire, send me their comments, questions, gripes, and complaints that I take so seriously, that I always respond to. I defy any person out there to come forward and say, I emailed Phil and he never emailed me back. Dude, what's up with that guy? It doesn't exist, I tell you. You'll know when I'm huge, folks, when this show is bigger than you can possibly imagine, when I stop immediately emailing you and texting you back. But alas, alas, we have a ways to go there. Thank goodness. Welcome, fans. Delighted to be here as always. Phil Pritchett here, talking to you. Enjoying this new year, hopefully enlightening your musical life. Well, what a show we have here. Do you know what month today is, folks? Do you know what month starts today, rather? You remember Owen Temple, right? The great Owen Temple, the podcast's own Owen Temple. Great songwriter. It was the highest rated show, the highest downloaded show of the year. Last year was when Owen was on here. Of course, talking about Gary Floater. That's where all that stuff got started. Gary Floater, Dirty South, the tribute, Owen Temple doing the tribute with Adam Carroll. Now the full band has recorded, of course, Dirty South by Gary Floater on Blueprint Garage Volume 3. You can get it at p2tunes.com for $4, of course. But it all started with our good friend Owen. I've known Owen for a lot of years. Well, folks, let me tell you what. He's going to be here today in our second segment. Owen Temple will be here. And not only that, we have a commitment from Owen Temple's people, his personnel. This is going to be Owen Temple Month. Owen Temple Month on the podcast. Where else are you going to get an exclusive like this? You know he's got this new record, Owen, Mountain Home. You're thinking, I don't have that, Phil. What are you talking about? Dude, it doesn't come out till April. But who has it right here? That's right. P2, that's who. I might be listening to some of this here during Owen Temple's month. Mountain Home, man, he's got Charlie Sexton playing on there. The great Bucca Allen, organ player, piano player. Got so many. Of course, Adam Carroll, his buddy Lennon, some harmonica on here. Great stuff from Owen. So I look forward to sitting down with Owen. He'll be in here all month, man, in the middle segment. Owen's Hipple Month on the podcast. Well, 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 you're asking yourself, Phil, what other news you got, man? What's going on? You've been out there at the front, out there making it work in these uncertain economic and musical times. No one knows which way to turn. We're looking for that lighthouse in the fog. Phil, that is you. Tell us what's up. Boy, I wish I had better news. I wish I had better news. You know what, though? I'm just trying new stuff, doing different things. Of course, we put out Blueprint Garage. And we're going to talk about some New Year's stuff that we're working on. However, I have come to this one conclusion. I'm going to make this announcement right here. I want everyone to gather around your laptop computer right now. If you've got a, if you've got it on low volume, like on a on an airplane or something, because you don't want to disturb the guy next to you, turn the volume up. If you're in your car listening on the radio, you know, and you're at a stoplight, roll down the windows, crank up the signal, because I want everyone, I want you and everyone around to hear what I'm about to say right now. For 2011, the first decision I've made here, I've been consulting with my people. This is what's going down. We have decided this. April 2011. The month of April 2011 is Private Party April. Private Party April. You're scratching your head. Stop that. Stop that. What is that, Phil? Private Party April. Well, let me tell you how this works. I've got maybe one date, I think, so far in April. Now we got maybe a couple things kind of booked. I'm going to try not to book a damn thing. Here's what I want to do. Come play in your house. I don't care where it is. Backyard, living room, bathroom, kitchen, roof, ranch, bar, club. Private Party April, $500. You hear what I said? $500. Phil Pritchett. Me, Phil. How you doing? We'll show up. 70-minute acoustic set. Private Party April. Now, a lot of these weekends and stuff, I've already got some people. We've already sent the word out here on Facebook. Just a little status report. Just, hey, man, we're doing Private Party April. We got a little post there at philpritchard.com letting people know what we're doing. So, dude, circle the wagons. Get your friends. Whatever. If you want to just pay it, that's fine. If you want to do it like a house concert, like, you know, hey, man, everybody shows up, pays $20. Whatever. However you want to do it is fine. I'll email you a one-page. Did you hear me? One-page PDF file contract. None of this 30-page BS that any other agent's going to send you. One page saying, I feel play for you, whatever, $500. You sign it, you send back a $250 deposit. That's it. The goal is to reach you, the fan. You look, we can't all be going out late at night. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you feel bad. I get your emails. Phil, I couldn't make it out. It's late. You know, I got the kids. Hey, I hear you loud and clear, but here's your chance, man. This is an opportunity. This isn't some kind of a giveaway. This is an opportunity. Look at that fireplace hearth in your house. Look at that deck you worked so hard to build, you know, out there for the family. And just say, dude, Phil could be playing right here on a Friday night in April, whenever it is. And I don't know. I don't care if I'm going to do one or if I'm going to get 30. I have no idea. But I'm trying to keep it at 70-minute sets. That way, if some of y'all want Saturdays and stuff like that, I'm going to try to book it to where if someone, yeah, I don't know, a lot of y'all might be in Houston or Corpus or, you know, Dallas, Austin, somewhere like that. You know, if some guy says, man, I want you, you know, 10 o'clock on this Saturday night, that's great. And then I might get another call for that same date. I might say, well, look, man, I can come. Why don't I do it at your house at 7 o'clock? I got it at 10 o'clock, you know, and I could knock them out, have fun. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. I've already gotten some initial feedback on it. So mark it down, man. Private Party April is upon us. Well, it's all very, very exciting, isn't it? Why April? I don't know how we just settled on April. The patron saint of the full band, Kevin Haggard down there in Houston. This was all his idea, really. Now, we've kicked it around in certain other varieties. Like, well, should we throw a price out there or not? I don't know. But we just want to come up with a low price, something that, you know, a few people get together. Hey, man, everybody come up with $100 or something. Make something happen. Bring Phil to your home or wherever. April just seemed like the next month. I already had a lot of stuff booked in January, February, March. So we had April sitting there. So we'll see how it goes, man. Excited, though. Ecstatic about it. Private Party April. Circle the troops. Circle the wagons. That's what's happening. And we're bringing it right to your house. We hope you're all excited. We certainly are about it. Well, what else is new this New Year's, everybody? Oh, man, it's already shaping up. In the coming weeks here during Owen Simple Month, we're going to be talking about some New Year's resolutions, some ideas, some thoughts. You know, I need feedback from you, the fans. That's what all this Private Party April and stuff is all about. I've got to find ways to always be in touch with you folks out there. Email me all the time and download all the stuff off the site. So be ready to give me feedback. Phil@philpritchard.com. We got ideas about the new record we're working on. I'm going to share with you here in the coming weeks. So much more. The way we book, the way we tour, albums, etc. What you would like to see from Phil Pritchard and the full band in the year 2011. Oh, man. Are you like me? Has this college football bowl thing just about killed you? I'm a huge football fan. Huge college football fan, as many of you are, I'm sure. And man, for the longest time, I was not one of these playoff guys. Everybody's going, man, you need a playoff, need a playoff. I always held out. I'm kind of an old school guy. You know me. Good old days syndrome, Phil. How you doing? I haven't changed at all. Good old days syndrome still reigns. It runs in my veins. From my love of classic rock to, pining for the days of yore. That's just what I do. It's what I do. I'm an old man for my age. But man, you know, we used to pull the TVs in there on New Year's Day. New Year's Day only, mind you. We had the Rose Bowl on here. Then we'd pull in the old black and white TV, maybe have the Cotton Bowl going on. It was bowl day. It was cool, you know. It was you got to see all your teams and everything. All in one day, it was a big activity. Well, what do they figure out? We're going to start spreading out. Not only that, we're going to add more bowls. And here's my question. Now we start bowl season about December 10th, and it goes to about January 15th or something crazy. And man, am I right about this or am I wrong? I used to watch all the bowl games on New Year's Day, just about. I mean, I'd just skip around. Oh, it's the Gator Bowl. It's this, you know, the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl. I just back and forth. Who's winning this game? It was an endurance test of sports viewing sloth. Incredible. I loved it. Look forward to it every year. Now what do we got? I'll tell you what we got. Nothing. We got nothing. You're just, you know, in your house on December 17th. You look up and Wyoming is playing Memphis State in the, galleryfurniture.com. But, you know, what is this? The stands are empty. It's on. I'm just like, who's, it looks, apparently no one's at the game. No one's watching it on TV. I'm just baffled, man. Everyone goes, man, the bowls are all about the money, man. They'll never go to a playoff system. You got to get rid of the bowls. It's all about the money, man, the money. And that's, I understand that. And hey, maybe the schools can all get paid and everything. I think that's great. I understand. But man, my question is, short from some of the bigger bowls, man, some of these bowls look like losers. God, I mean, am I wrong? Have you seen some of the attendance of some of these bowls? Especially the early ones, you know, in December. I mean, there's just nobody there. You got 2 6-5 teams duking it out down there on the field in some no-name stadium. It's some oddly named bowl after a website or something. I'm just like, who watches this stuff? I'm clueless. So I don't look at this and say, man, someone's cashing in big money. I guess the companies like the advertising of having their own bowl or something like that. But man, do they make it back what they're spending on the advertising? Maybe it's that simple, man. If you can just get the game on TV, you know, each college gets a big check, and that's good enough for everybody. I guess that's how it works. So I don't know, man. I'm not really coming around to the deal. Because if it's going to be like this, anything's better than this. All these, or man, I'd be for just going back to a couple of big bowls on New Year's Day. I think that's great too. That'd be real fun. But that Empire, it's going to happen. So man, I'm kind of on to this playoff thing, man. Just pick a few of the, you know, four or five of the bowls that we like, the big ones, the big conference teams, go there and play. And man, you have a round, you just have a tournament, you know, of like eight teams or something like that. Maybe you have 10, you have a couple wild cards or something like that, or a couple that get byes in the first round, something like that, man. And just, I mean, hell, man, the college football season's over pretty much at Thanksgiving, isn't that right? I mean, Thanksgiving, we go all through December with just nothing, no college football, waiting for, I mean, hell, these teams playing for the national championship are going to be on like, you know, January 10th or something. I mean, that's like 6 or 7 weeks after they played their last game. You're telling me we can't play a couple games in there? That would be a loser for everybody? I don't buy it, man. I don't buy it. I do not understand the economics of college football. Other than they get to have sold out stadiums and they don't have to pay the players. Now that's a good business model right there. Oh, could you imagine? Could you imagine me just having an orchestra? I travel with an orchestra and a horn section and a keyboard player, and I just didn't have to pay any of the band guys. I just got to keep all the money myself. That's kind of what college football is, you know? We're just going to sell 100,000 tickets and put it in our pocket. What do you pay the player? Ah, nothing. We pay our coach and the staff. We got some travel expenses. No, that's about it. You know, everyone's like, well, they're getting a degree. They're getting an education. I'm like, well, college, how many college football players really get an education? I don't know. Maybe some. Those Stanford guys, I'm sure they're doing all right, winning the Orange Bowl. But, I don't know. I'm not saying we pay the players. I'm not getting into that. Email me if you think that's what needs to happen. Phil@philpritchard.com. And let me know your thoughts on the matter. I'm always interested. I always want to know. Well. I hear someone out there rustling in the kitchen in the galley area of Trinidad World Recording, a rapping at my chamber door. That could only mean that Owen Temple Month is set to begin here on the P2 Podcast. 4 weeks in a row of Owen Temple, our old friend, hanging out here, who said, man, Phil, I'm not coming on the show for one segment like I did last time. I'm not coming on for two segments. I'm only showing up if I can come on in 4 successive weeks to talk all things music, all things business. Oh, man, we're going to get into all sorts of out-of-bounds categories with our old friend Owen Temple, the man who brought Gary Floater to Phil Pritchett and the full band's attention. We're so grateful for him, and we're going to pay him back this month on the podcast with Owen Temple Month next.
She wants to. She knows that I am not the kind of man who makes himself easy to understand. Bailing water just to stay afloat. Thoughts tying knots in the back of my throat. She's a woman to me, with every sweet caress. She's finding me out, and I'm losing myself in the process. She's with me now, in a crowded room. But she knows just how to fill it up if she wants to.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, broadcasting to you worldwide, to everyone in the known universe who loves me, who loves music. God bless you all. It's a great time of year. We hope you're doing well out there. Coming to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it. Whatever that means, we hope you've had a great holiday here. Oh, are you like me? Are you festive? Just filled with Christmas cheer? A new year is upon us. So many possibilities. You gotta forget the past, or you take the good things of the past and move forward. Right? I'm getting a little philosophical, a little didactic here, just wondering what it all means. That means, when that kind of thought process starts on this show, it can only mean one thing, that my mind has been jolted, electrified, shocked awake by another philosophical and thoughtful soul. That, of course, is our good friend, the podcast's own Owen Temple is here today. How you doing, Owen?
I'm fantastic, Phil.
What a thrill when I got your text message that you were going to be in town, as you often are at this time of year.
I am.
Is that right? The family is up here?
We've got family up here. We've got holiday cheer to share right up here.
That's right.
In the DFW Metroplex.
And you are sort of the go-between, of course, between myself and Gary Floater. We've recorded Dirty South, his song for our Rarities and B-Sides release, Blueprint Garage Volume 3. Very off the beaten path of, what should I say? It's not an official album, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the recording is there. Needless to say, Gary is due, you know, dozens of dollars from Phil Pritchett and the full band. And are you sort of his representative on that front?
I'm glad I was able to bring that deal to the table.
Needless to say, it's hard to find out who to contact. He's not listed with the Harry Fox agency. Just, we've never heard of that guy. I called him. I said, look, I'm just trying to send a couple royalty bucks to Mr. Floater. So, man, we've never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Yeah, he's been purged from their records.
I couldn't even find anything on any of the websites, publishing or a lawyer or anything like that. So I just said, man, I'll just give Owen a check for whatever it is.
I was happy.
$22, and you can say, hey, divide accordingly to all parties therein.
Well, you know, because it wasn't an official release, you know.
Not really, no.
Because he's never been able to be on an official release.
Right. So. Well, this is probably as official as he's had, maybe. Short of you and Carol's tribute.
I'm sure he would find fault with it.
Well, that's what makes me nervous
about it.
Because
that's what makes Gary so, you know. It makes Gary so Gary.
Finding
fault.
Anything
that's new? That's what this time of year is all about.
Finding fault and being cynical.
Disappointment. Sharing disappointment with loved ones.
It's the Gary Floater way.
Making excuses.
Thrilled that Owen Simple can join us on the podcast. Phil Pritchett here, folks. We hope you're doing well out there. Well, what is new in the world of Owen Simple? You hand me a new record here. Or pretty new. How long is that? How long has that been out? Owen Simple, Mountain Home.
Yeah. Coming out in April. And
April?
I printed it up
Dude,
for you.
I always get the first copy of my new album, if I'm lucky, the day before the album release, quote-unquote, party. It's always a frantic deal.
Yeah.
God, this is like how... This is how the big guys roll here.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what.
It doesn't drop until the second Tuesday in April.
Record drops.
But
yeah,
you already have the album done here.
I printed them because I wanted to be able to share it with you.
Uh-huh. To come on the show.
Put
the word out.
On the show.
Owen Simple, Mountain Home. Impressed with the packaging
and
here.
Also, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
And you know, if people come to shows, I've usually got five in the old.
Yeah, you know, if you just
in the old bag. If somebody says, hey, you know,
you got the new one on you. Maybe I do. You know,
are you sure you can handle it?
Yeah, that's right.
I can handle it.
I've got $5. He's like, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
But April, it's good. You know, speaking of worldwide, we're at Trinidad. You know,
absolutely
broadcasting to the worldwide. This record will be available worldwide.
On the worldwide internet web and elsewhere.
Web in April. So.
Now, you're big over in Europe. You told me about
I'm huge in Sweden.
People remember. Now, a lot of people don't know this. This is the honest to goodness truth here. Owen Simple came on this program. Oh, when was that? About a year ago, maybe? Yeah. Something like that. And we'd had a big run of we had Pat Green came on. We had Gary P. Nunn come on. We had Buddy Huffman from Macon Grayson. I don't know, a lot of guys kind of right in there. And then Owen was right in there. The most listened to podcast of last year, the most downloaded off p2podcast.com, just judging site data. We had a definite spike when Gary P. was on. We had a spike with Pat Green. However, hear me right now, no spike larger than the Owen Simple podcast. I don't want to insult you.
I'm stunned.
I was a little shocked by that. Yeah. Our web guy goes, guess what podcast has been listened to more than any podcast? Like, oh, well, probably the Pat Green. He said, nope. Distant second. I'm like, what? Gary P. Nunn? No. Owen Simple. The ratings on the Owen Simple podcast trump all others. How do you explain that?
Phil, I think we were on our game that last time. I think
the word got out.
I think that it was
the things these guys.
I was actually accused. People said you script that out. Those jokes can't be that
off the cuff, easy. That's right.
They said it's scripted.
You've
got a team of writers working on that material for you guys.
Just feeding us lines in an earpiece.
So you know,
I wish that was the case.
I think our material was good that day. So
well, needless to say, I immediately just got scrambling back on the horn. I said, man, we got to keep this Temple guy around. This guy, you know, because when I think of Owen Temple, I think of numbers, just ratings, sales. You know,
I think of it too. Some of them have negative numbers on them.
Have a minus sign in front of them. Oh, I'm in there with you, man. I'm in there with you. I had to ask you. I noticed on your record here, recorded in Austin, Texas, at your buddy's studio.
Yep, Gabe's studio.
Good
out there,
deal.
Briarcliff, you know, west of Austin.
Could have done it here, man. You could have. Look at this.
I'd love to.
Look around.
Man, this room sounds great.
Look around, you know.
Listen.
Yeah, there it is. See? You hear that?
We had that.
We had sound waves.
We've tuned this room here. We've tuned this room. This sheetrock was brought in special.
Yeah.
You know.
Actually, this is.
You see that piece of foam on the wall over there? That wasn't just hung there randomly.
Right by the telephone. That's perfect.
I just said, you know what? We're going to want to deaden that slapback right over there by the telephone on the
Absolutely.
Wall.
Absolutely. No, this would be a comfortable space. No.
Charlie Sexton. I've always been a big fan.
Me too.
A bit enamored with Charlie Sexton over the years. Child star. Beat So Lonely. When was that? Remember? Do you remember that?
Beat So Lonely.
He was like 16 when that came out. He had spiky hair.
Yeah.
Wunderkind. Huge in Japan. Yeah, you know, guitar player. For those that maybe don't know who Charlie Sexton is, great musician. He is a huge, I don't know, prodigy kind of guy out of Austin.
Yep.
Real handsome guy. One of those dudes that you see him eating dinner at Guerrero's. You're like, dude, who is that guy? He looks like Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah, he looks like he should be somebody.
He looks like a movie star.
Yeah,
yeah, he just kind of needs cool clothes, smoking a cigarette, hanging out. He's like, dude, that's Charlie Sexton, man. Yeah. Then you go to some gig at Antone's and he's up there playing slide guitar and you're like, wow, that guy's great, you know?
Yeah.
Well, then, he gets older, he produces, he plays on lots of guys' records. He's a man about town in Austin when I was living down there, certainly in the, early 90s. Well, man, then the big thing is he gets the Bob Dylan gig.
Yeah.
Dylan, in his Biograph box set, there's a big article by Bob in there. So I got that for Christmas, like in, I don't know, 89 when it came out, He was reading Dylan talking about all the blues guys he loves, and there's a little piece in there Bob Dylan talking about how awesome Charlie Sexton is. And I just remember being blown away, like, Charlie Sexton, like Austin, Texas, Charlie, how does Dylan, that influence, he just goes, man, that guy's got something nobody else has or something like that. And so I remember just being kind of freaked out by that. But sure enough, Dylan hires him in the early 90s. Kind of right there when he came back and did those Lanois records and
I can't remember.
Kind of had a big comeback Grammys. He did Love and Theft and
it was Love and Theft. Yeah, yeah,
was
that,
on that album.
I think Charlie played on.
And he toured with him for several years, right? I mean, how long did he?
Yeah, two or three years. Now he's back on the road with him too. As of about a year ago. Yeah.
So, dude, I read somewhere that Charlie Sexton. So anyway, I love Dylan. I love Sexton. Here they are kind of doing this deal.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed. I saw in the paper a while back some article with Sexton. Some guy goes, man, what's it like playing with Dylan? He goes, oh, I can't talk about that. Can't talk about my time with Bob. He just dismissed it out of hand. I was like, man, does Dylan have all his band guys sign something that they can't? Because you never hear about guys going out. Oh, man, it was great. Dylan's weird, man. He gets on the bus and, you know, he sort of mumbles and goes off to sleep. You never see anything like that.
Yeah.
He was very secretive about it. Did he ever mention anything about it? You talked to Sexton in the studio at all? Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do.
Before this?
We worked together on this project, and I think that's the... Yeah. That's the thing we didn't mention is that he actually plays on this record.
Right. I'm sorry. He does. He plays bass. I just saw him credited on your record.
Yeah.
Charlie
yeah.
Sexton.
And it was an honor and a thrill to have him. And we worked out all the arrangements.
Cool.
Drums. You know, Rick Richard played drums.
Had you worked with him before or not?
No. First time I've worked with him.
Okay.
But I can't see how there'd be not much upside to being able to talk about Dylan. I mean, like Dylan going to hire him, like double his pay for like going on this radio show.
I don't know.
It's like, it's working. Let's talk about something else.
Was at a time when he wasn't with Dylan.
Oh, I see.
And it seemed like he wasn't just going to talk about how great it was or give details on Bob's life or anything. He just kind of goes, man, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. Interesting.
So what was he like?
He's a really sweet, interested.
Yes. Professional.
He wants the project to be not only like his idea, which he comes up with great ideas. Mm-hmm. He said, is this cool? I mean, he said that like, you know, three or four times. I mean, he was like, are you liking this?
He didn't want to step on your
artistic
vision.
Let me know if this is not what you're thinking, you know. He was also real, you know, encouraging, you know, when there's something I wasn't certain about myself, my own performance or, you know, no, that's it.
Yeah.
So I was real lucky to be able to have like a Gabe playing guitar and producing. Rick Richards playing drums. Old friend.
Old friend. He's been with you forever. Still playing your live band some?
He doesn't very much. He's so busy with Ray Hubbard. He plays.
Okay,
Ray,
I didn't know. I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah.
And then Charlie. So I mean, we had great ideas.
Yeah.
So
just going
for the
around
songs. So
Sexton looks like he was playing bass, baritone guitar,
Played baritone guitar instead of a bass.
Oh, is that right?
Throughout the record, you know, just
no bass.
Well,
like
yeah,
the
low
Doors.
Notes. Yeah, low notes.
But low notes are in there.
You know, I have to say that was the other really cool thing is having a guitar player.
Yeah.
Play bass. They're play not... the bass notes because the bass notes is there's never a doom doom doom
yeah.
doom doom. It's really musical and
doing little
rhythmic,
scales and
rhythmic
little McCartney and... runs and things like that.
Yeah,
they always say the best, some of the best bass players are guitar players who play bass.
I think so.
Ron
think
Wood of the Rolling Stones is known as a great bass player, but
yeah.
they all just, you know, there's kind of a stigma. You've probably run into it with the trained music sheet music reading bass player that went to, you know, North Texas music school.
Well, you know, you gotta
they show
you gotta
up
a, throw out the rule book sometimes.
They show up, but those guys typically. I ran into this with our old friend Pete Coatney. Played a gig.
Uh-huh.
We needed a sub bass player. I'm like, man, I got this guy out of the paper. He's great. Who is he? I go, man, he's so good, right? He went to North Texas music school. He reads music, and Coatney immediately just throws down his drums and goes, oh, man, tell me. No. I'm like, what do you mean? He can play jazz. Surely he can play our songs. He just goes, man, that guy's going to show up with like an 8-string fretless bass, a bunch of effects pedals. And I'm like, no, come on.
Man.
So sure enough, that's exactly what happened. This guy's a nice guy, but... Just yeah. Hey man, you like Victor Wooten, man, and Jaco Pastorius? I'm like, I don't know. Look, can you just go ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
ding? But some of the good bass players I've had, you know, Josh Owen.
Oh yeah.
We had a disaster that me and J.W. Marshall, our bass player in our band, talked about last week. A gig where he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Where Josh was the opening act, a great guitar player. I said, man, can you play bass? He kind of shrugged and said, yeah. And man, he got up there and with a pick, just playing and man was a good bass player.
That's
and,
great.
It's kind of cool. You
Josh
know?
Is great. You know, I had a gig that was kind of an emergency like that, too. And Josh had been playing some guitar with me every now and
yeah.
then. And I called him. I said, man, I need you to play drums. You know these songs.
No, thought I was pushing him to play bass.
Yeah.
Drums.
Yeah, yeah. So
see, last week we talked about, or a week or two ago, gigs that almost didn't happen. We
yeah,
were talking so.
That's true.
Yeah, you pulled off a few in your day, I bet.
Yeah, well, you
Josh Owen on drums. That's
the advantage of that is Josh did know the songs.
Right.
You know, he just played the guitar gig, so at least that was not yeah. frontier. Now the new thing was
yeah.
these sticks and yeah, all this other
just,
stuff.
Instead of playing a solo, just play the snare, the kick, the hi-hat.
Yeah. So he borrowed his roommate's drums, and the gig went off great.
What's a does anything spring to mind for a? For a gig that almost didn't happen in your career,
almost just a
disaster avoided by some quick thinking. Of course, Josh Owen on drums. That's hard to beat that.
Well, you know, I was also. Let me think about that, Phil.
Maybe we'll get back to this next
week.
There's
one where I've showed up to open as the acoustic opener,
uh-huh.
and I failed to bring an acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
An acoustic guitar, that is.
Didn't bring your instrument with you.
So, you know.
Always problematic.
I'm
going
to need to borrow.
Right.
I'm going to need to go ahead and borrow your guitar. I believe that was at the Red Onion Club.
Where's that?
That's above a pawn shop in Garland.
That you left your mark on
yep,
indelibly.
That me and Pat Green played 13, 14, 15 years. Not
is that
13
right?
years ago. Yeah, 12, maybe.
Right.
Maybe 10. Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Owen Temple on the Pete Sue Podcast. Always a joy. At such a joyous time of year, he shows up here, sharing his wisdom, his thoughts. What else are you doing? You got any big ideas for the new year coming up? Besides,
you
got the new album coming out in April.
Yeah, I'm working on that for the first part of the year, trying to write a bunch of songs. I think I'm going to go for about, try to write 35 songs this year.
35? You set a goal like that? How can you do that?
I think I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know,
you put a number out there and
yeah.
see if you hit it.
Yeah.
How big is the Owen Temple catalog these days?
Oh, man, it's vast. It's
a couple hundred at least, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little more than 100 or
yeah,
maybe, so, 120,
something like that.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, including co-writes and solo work.
You know, I tell you what, and it seems like it should be more, especially when you look at guys like Gary Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has not only 120...
Yeah,
songs.
Right.
He has 700
yeah.
cut.
Yeah.
Songs.
700 cut?
Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah. So
that's unbelievable.
All that tells me is that we can write more than we do.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw this great thing that was like, you know, writing
yeah.
is 3% talent, 97% not being distracted by the internet.
That's right. All forms of writing, I'll bet.
Man.
It really is, man. You come to the office a lot of times. I mean, I worked all day, but, you know, and you're emailing this dude, and then you look over there, just, what?
Yeah.
Just you know, Jim Carrey is getting a divorce. You kind of read about you or whatever, right? Just silly. And all of a sudden you look up, it's lunchtime, and you're just, how am I doing, you know? It's tough.
So, I don't know. I think this year I'm going to have to power off the devices or something and maybe be by myself for moments.
Yeah.
For some moments. Yeah.
I hear you, man. Well, man, look, I want to get more into your process. Like, I find that interesting. I always talk to people about that kind of thing. And other stuff next week. Can you make it back next week? Would you do us the favor?
I will be back next week.
Owen Temple next week. You heard it here first, so if he doesn't show up, don't hold me to it, folks. Thrilled to have Owen Temple, our old friend, here with us, talking about Charlie Sexton, his new records that'll be due out in April. Mountain Home. Normally, I don't let anybody promote their own record on this, but the greatness of Owen Temple can always promote a little bit because he's got Charlie Sexton on it, and he brought Gary Fuller to my attention. That puts him in rarefied air on this show, let me tell you what. Thanks for coming, Owen Temple.
Great to be here, Phil.
Have a great new year. We'll see you next week, man. We'll talk a little bit more.
See you next week, man.
Coming up next in the vault, we'll see what we got. Phil's going to blindfold myself, wander over there, put my hands on a record, put it on the turntable. We'll see if it's worth talking about. Next in the vault. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It's your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. How you doing out there, folks? Oh, can you believe that Owen Temple Month is finally here? It's finally upon us. It is finally underway. Isn't that great to have him drop by here? Owen Temple, our old friend, thank you, sir, for dropping by. He will be in here next week and the following successive week or two. God, three more times, I think. Owen Temple Month is here. It's incredible. Also remember, folks, that for Phil Pritchett, me solo with my guitar, Phil, 2001, April 2011, is Private Party April. Private Party April. Email me, Phil at philpritchett.com. Say, Phil, April, let's go. What dates you got? I'll let you know what dates we have. If the date is already booked, but you're pretty close to where the other date is booked, and we can fit you in on that same date, we'll make it happen. Rest assured. Well, are you like me? Do you love Los Lobos? Let me tell you what, man. What a great band. You got David Hidalgo, Cesar Rojas, guitar, kind of the two main guys out front. From L.A., man, combining all sorts of cool styles, man. Tejano, conjunto, rock, blues, whatever, you name it, man. They have got some of the coolest music. And to be perfectly honest, what was it? Will the Wolf Survive? Was that their first big record? T-Bone Burnett produced that. Fort Worth's own great producer, T-Bone Burnett. I think that was their first kind of breakthrough record, Will the Wolf Survive? I think that's what it was called. But, man, this was the record that I heard in Austin when I was living there in the 90s, and they said, man, something new from Los Lobos. I'd heard of Los Lobos. I was like, oh, yeah, man, they got some cool stuff. They'd done La Bamba, remember? They did Richie, you know, or maybe that was after this record. Gosh, I can't remember. Time flies and gets more confusing the older I get. But let me tell you what, man, Los Lobos, I haven't listened to a whole lot of their other stuff, but rest assured, one thing is certain. They have created one masterpiece of an album. Done. In the books. One masterpiece. And that's what we're listening to this week. Kiko by Los Lobos. Dude, you want to talk about every song? Just when they start, it just grabs you. Like this one here, man. Listen to this guitar and listen to the sound of these drums that come in. Fantastic stuff here from Los Lobos, from Kiko. I think this one's called Wake Up Dolores. Here they are, Lobos, on the P2 Podcast.
My legs are tired, my face feels hot. Wake up morning, please try to walk. Sacred night,
oh, baby, oh, yeah,
our light is dim, we have so far to go. The stones are hard on this endless road. Oh, sacred night. Gets our
dreams, oh,
yeah, the dying sun,
oh,
the purple night,
oh,
oh, sacred hand.
Lobos! And this was produced by a guy named Mitchell Froom. Great artist in his own right. Mitchell Froom, great producer. He produced a couple of the early Crowded House records. Y'all know I love my Crowded House, my Neil Finn. Gosh, man. He just got so much out of this band on this album. Froom's one of those guys that, he just takes an artist that everybody thinks they know. And he just brings his own element to it, man. Just puts them in positions and situations, maybe of which they're not really comfortable or something like that. And the results are just really mind-blowing at times. Yeah, this album, man, I remember my old drummer, Keith Robinson, was a huge Los Lobos fan. He got to see him one time. He just goes, dude, those guys are just such great musicians. Great drummer in this band. And he was just always getting off on Los Lobos, man. I love this next song here. I want to say the other side of nothing. The short side of nothing. Los Lobos. For you aspiring recordists out there, if your acoustic guitars sound like crap, just throw that track in, man, and turn it up real loud in your headphones and think, how close am I getting? How close am I getting? Lobos, man, that's what you have to live up to right there. Just those acoustic guitars banging away. Damn, that's good sounding stuff. I got my headphones on here in the studio to do this podcast. I'm listening to this stuff. I'm being blown away by the mixes on this. Kiko Los Lobos. Man, I love this next track. Another one of my favorites on here. I couldn't even fit on my favorite. I could play the whole record. This is one that just every song, it's just a whole different chapter. It sounds like just a whole different guy in the band wrote it and sang it or what. It's just like, dude, where is this coming from? Just all kinds of weird stuff here. I love this one. I mean, out of nowhere, you kind of, okay, kind of get this acoustic rock kind of deal, this Tejano thing. Cool, all right, Los Lobos all over the place. Then Riva's House is this next track. And you're just not expecting the horns, man. You're not. Are you expecting it? And I'm kind of tipping my hand here because here it comes. The horns, Riva's House, Lobos. Love it, man. Los Lobos, Kiko, check it out. Broaden your musical life. If you already have it, you're like, Phil, come on, man. That's one of my favorite records. Just take your hand and pat yourself right on the back and just think, man, I'm way on top of things. Way on top of things, out on the cutting edge. But let me tell you, if you're some young guy out there and you're talking about how great all the new stuff on the radio is and whatever, and you want to be on American Idol, garbage, man. Go out and get Kiko by Los Lobos. Don't just listen to the first track. Yeah, listen to a little bit. It's all right. No, 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 no. You put on the headphones. Put on the earbuds. Close your eyes. Darkened room. Light up a cigar and just dig in, dude. Kiko, great stuff, man. Oh, just when you think it can't get any weirder, this album, and any greater. Now, this, I think this is the first track of the record. I'm sticking it on the end here. You get Kiko, just the song, Kiko and the Lavender Moon here. We'll leave you with that one, folks. Thanks again to Owen Temple for dropping by. Owen Temple month is upon us, folks. Look forward to hearing more from Owen here in the successive podcast coming your ways. Hey, would your company benefit from advertising on the podcast? Just some little clips. And if it's something I would never use and don't like, don't even call me. Don't even bother. But if you're like, Phil, I'm a devoted listener and I make cowboy boots or beer or hot sauce, something like that. You hear me out there? Or dependable vans, give me a call, 817-733-5256. We're going to leave you with Kiko here. Oh, also remember, April 2011 is Private Party April. Private Party April. Call me or email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Tell me what date you want in April. I show up at your house and play $500. Love it, man. We will see y'all next week on the podcast. Much tougher.
Dreams and dreams, Kiko and the Lavender Moon.